is this going to happen? Or is it going to happen? Or like, and I start to plan it out. I'm like, wait, you have no control over this situation. Like, you can put certain things in motion, but you have to kind of like just be in this moment right now. Do what you can in this moment to get to that place, but just really be in this moment.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 136 of the Mad Happy Podcast. My name is Payman.
And I'm Mason.
Welcome back to a new year of the show. Welcome to 2024. Hope everyone had a great and restful holiday period. Some updates on our side. We're sort of taking another look at the podcast and trying to see the cadence that makes sense for episodes. And we'll record an episode soon talking about what we're thinking of doing and how we're thinking of setting up the show. But we definitely wanted to start the new year with a great episode that we recorded with Whitney Port right before the break. And really just interesting to hear her story of how she came up and her entrepreneurship ventures, as well as, you know, the ups and downs that she's dealt with, just like we all have throughout life.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Payman and Whitney.
Well, so exciting to have you. Before we start recording that you grew up in LA.
Yes.
So can you paint us that picture of like early childhood and that sort of thing?
Yeah. So I grew up in LA. I'm one of five kids. I'm the middle child of five kids. I have an older brother and three sisters. And I had like a great childhood, like very quintessentially, like, ideal in my eyes. I went to like a small liberal artsy school, and my dad was in the fashion industry and my mom was an art teacher. So then I always feel like the two of that combined that made me. I ended up, I went to University of Colorado in Boulder for a year and a half. I thought that I like needed to leave LA and go to a small town and like do the rah-rah big university thing. And I just got totally swallowed up there. Like it was overwhelming. And I ended up leaving and transferring to USC and ended up graduating from USC with a degree in gender studies, which I knew like I didn't know exactly what I was going to do with that, but at the time it was just really interesting to me. And while I was in college, I got cast on the show. And I was just interviewing for an internship at Teen Vogue because I really just wanted an internship while I was in college at SC. And they told me MTV is starting to film a show here about girls in LA. Like, would you want to do a casting tape?
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, okay. So I did a casting tape for them. And then next thing you know, they like cast me on this show. And it just like totally, it just obviously completely changed my life. Like I went from what I thought, I knew that I would be in fashion and go that route. But I then had all this exposure and I was able to like launch the clothing line super young and do so many things that I never knew I was going to be able to do. But I was also always very resistant to the whole TV thing. Like I was always curious why they cast me because I just didn't feel like I seemed like someone who would do good on reality TV. Like I don't want to cause drama. I stay away from it. Like I don't want to ignite it. And I think what they found in me was maybe that I was like kind of the every girl, like the voice of reason. And that's what they used me for, which ended up being great for me because I ended up coming out of it pretty like scot-free. Yeah. But I turned the TV career into the fashion business, which is like constantly evolving into different things. And that is what I think is so cool. Like I never regret doing the TV thing. Sometimes I think it put me in a box in terms of being in fashion because I don't think at the time when I was doing it, reality TV was not like respected as much as it is now. Not that it's respected, but it's like the Kardashians are reality and they're, you know, on the covers and wearing the luxury brands and everything. Like it wasn't like that for me. So I think that I've had to constantly kind of like reinvent myself to be taken seriously, like in the fashion world.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And, I guess rewinding back, being a middle child, do you feel like that impacted you in any way?
I think so. Yeah. I think it, like my nature is like easy breezy, go with the flow, like kind of like you make the calls, I'll just go along with the ride. Yeah. And I think that's because I was just in the middle conforming to whatever the older or the younger needed me to be at the time. But other than that, I don't think there's anything else that's like true middle. Are you a middle child?
No, I actually just have a younger brother who I started the company with. He's 2 years younger. So it's just us two. I mean, I definitely feel like we have like the older, younger dynamic.
Yeah.
And I think it's always interesting, just like it does play a role in everyone's life.
It does, so for sure.
It's always interesting to see. Yeah.
And I'm like the one, if there's like a serious thing that we need to discuss with my mom, like I'm usually the mouthpiece for that because I don't know. I guess there's something about the way I say it or my tone or how I'm able to like speak for everyone. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's actually served me well.
Yeah. I feel like that's great.
Yeah.
I guess growing up, like going when you were at SC, did you know you wanted to do apparel because your dad was in the business and it was your interest, or it kind of developed over time?
It developed over time. I mean, I knew that I wanted to be in fashion. I thought that I would go more into like styling, honestly. But I think because my dad had the whole infrastructure and the experience, it was made it, and because I was on the TV show, it made it just so easy for me to do. Yeah.
And I guess you're saying like you never thought of yourself as someone who would be on TV. Was that a big adjustment, I guess, like mentally with like the exposure kind of overnight?
Yes. I mean, okay. For me, it was like, the filming was the hard part because it was more like the manipulation and the constant conversations with producers where I just was so exhausted. Like, I would never say it like that, or I would never care about that, or, you know, it was constantly like that was the exhausting part. But like the quote, like fame part of it, being recognized and stuff, didn't really affect me. Like, I didn't really care about it. I think that had to do with growing up in LA and going to Crossroads and just being around this whole world. I was just like, whatever, this is fun and I'll take like advantage of it, but this is not my goal. Like, my goal wasn't to be famous. So that's why I think I was always able to like stay in line and not do anything on the show that was super embarrassing, because I was never trying to get attention.
But then, do you think like there was like negative aspects to being on the show and kind of just like those 4 or 5 however many years it was, like it impacting you in a way where you're like, whoa, like I don't know if I want this?
Big time. Like, I think in two ways. I think that one, it gave me like a big imposter syndrome. Like, there was so much of my life that the producers were making happen for me, or that because I was now exposed, like so many opportunities that were happening that I felt like I didn't deserve.
Like what? Like what would be like, an example?
Even just like being able to start my clothing line. Yeah. Like, I felt like that was a privilege, you know, or I just didn't feel like I earned anything. Mm. Like, I was 21 and I didn't have a degree in anything, and I was just like able to do this because of this TV show. And I think that slowly chipped away at like my confidence and not knowing what I actually earned because of what I put out into the world versus like what was just because of being on a TV show.
Yeah.
So that has been something that I like continued to work with, but I feel like I'm pretty removed at this point that I can say whatever comes now. Yes, it may be loosely based on the foundation, but just like, that's fine. It's, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to take advantages that come your way, but I do agree that it is hard, like, when it goes from not having those opportunities to all of a sudden having them in like a short span, it's like hard to be like, oh, why is all this stuff happening right away? And like, I didn't even work that hard necessarily for this to happen.
So it's
like this like weird feeling inside.
Exactly. Like, you just feel like you don't deserve it. And then the other thing I think is just like mistrusting people. I think, like I was saying, not even about the fame part, but mistrusting because the producers and even the people on the show were inside your head so much, you were just constantly spiraling about like what was real, what wasn't. And I think that that came like, oh, just a way of thinking, and that I've had to slowly shed that narrative as well.
Yeah. And did you realize it, I guess, at the time, or like, did it take time to be
took time. It definitely took time to be like, whoa, I feel like I was so closed off to people and immediately judgy and immediately like not giving anyone the benefit of the doubt. And I think that that was like a defense mechanism. I was like protecting myself against really knowing anybody so that they couldn't hurt me or something. Like, you know, it's so complicated, but now I think that I've been able to shed that too.
So it's like when you look back, you're like, damn, like why was I acting like this way towards random people?
Exactly. Or towards like my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, or so insecure about things. Like it's because of those things.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard, you know, especially growing up, like we didn't even really hear about therapy, or like Mason was actually my first friend that I knew that went to therapy since he was super young. Uh-huh. And now I feel like it's so much more common, but like we never take even an hour of time a week to like think about these questions and things of that sort, which I think like then we wonder like why we feel XYZ thing or not so good or whatever.
It's so, true. I think that like therapy gets sometimes a bad rap, or like people try it and they maybe haven't necessarily found the right one, or people, at least for me, like I got into this rut where I just didn't want to hear myself complain anymore. Yeah. Just felt like I was constantly complaining, and I was so sick of just like the words I was saying. I felt so gross, and I was judging myself. And I then realized like, oh, it's not because of me. Like, this therapist isn't actually really like giving me any tools or asking me any insightful questions or leaving me with anything to think about afterwards. And so that didn't happen until I like found someone new and realized how much purpose like I could get from it. But yeah, now I do it an hour. Now I do it once a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes I still definitely dread it. Like I have it after this, and I definitely like, I'm like, ugh, what am I going to talk about for an hour?
Yeah.
But then I always leave feeling lighter, and I'm like so glad that I did it, you know?
Yeah. It's so funny because our mind, I feel like, is so good at like telling us like, oh, like we have nothing to talk about this week or something like
always.
That.
Always. You know? So like, I'm like, I'm good. Yeah. Like I don't need to go, you know? And then they ask one question and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's interesting. I only started like, it's about to be 3 years. I've been going like every week for 3 years. I actually have it today as well.
Amazing.
But it was funny because at the beginning I like noticed like a huge impact, at least for me. And maybe it was because I found like the right person, but like, I was like, whoa, like I've almost never even like said these words before. So then it's like your body just feels like lighter in a way, which was this like crazy feeling that I had never really felt in any way. So I think it made a huge impact. When did you kind of begin that journey for yourself?
I have been on and off journey with therapy since my dad passed away. That was 10 years ago. I would stop for years at a time and then pick it back up. And now I'm like very newly onto this therapist. Like I think I've been with her for like 4 months now, with like once a week. And I'm like, when do I get to the point where it's like every other week or once a month? But I think that it's so important to be able to have that space to like release whatever is inside our brain with knowing that she or he or whoever is just not going to care. It doesn't affect them. There's no judgment. Like, and I'm still even getting to that place. Like I'm still, I still am like a little bit reserved sometimes. Like I leave and I'm like, oh, I could have really said this.
Yeah.
But I think that we do it for our bodies, or hopefully we do. Yeah. And our brain sometimes I feel like needs it so much more.
And it's interesting. Yeah. Because like, there's like always these topics where you're like, oh, like I don't feel like talking about that, or I don't feel like explaining that. But like, those are actually the things that you should be saying.
Me too. I know.
So I always try to like do something, even though I know like I'm not going to feel comfortable when I'm saying it, you know?
100%.
Then I know I've said something that, like, probably I should say.
Yeah, if you feel uncomfortable, if you don't want to say it, then you probably should say it. Because there may be some truth in that. Or maybe if there's not, at least, like, there's someone there that can help you make sense of
it. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the judgment piece is so important because it's, like, being able to say even things that, like, you feel like you could never say out loud type of thing is like such an important environment to have, or else you're just like holding on to that
forever. For sure. I mean, there was one thing that I know, like when I miscarried, it was like my first miscarriage at the time. And, I remember being like slightly relieved because I'd already had Sunny, and Sunny was like a year old, and I feel like I just wasn't ready to get pregnant with the next. But I felt like such a monster that I was like relieved that I miscarried, and I had never heard that before. A friend had never felt that, shared it. And so that was the one thing that I remember sharing with the therapist, and her being like, oh my God, like people feel that all the time. Yeah. Like, not every woman wants to get pregnant every single time they get pregnant. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. And I felt like that was the one that was like so freeing for me to not feel like a monster. Cause I didn't even feel like I could tell my husband that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've definitely never heard that, which is like, feels like there's definitely like this weird stigma around even being able to say something like that.
I know.
Feeling like you're not ready, and like, it feeling like, oh, are you being selfish, or like, you know, that's just what's best for you. So, yeah, that's a great one. I feel like, I guess when your dad passed away, was it sudden? And then I guess for you, like, what did that look like at the beginning, how you were processing that?
Yeah, so my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 kidney cancer, and then he died a year after. And, like, I think that I was just young and naive, and I just never thought he was going to die. Like, I never had any intense conversations with him or, it was like 2 weeks before, and he was in the hospital, and they were like, okay, this is it. And we were like, what? Like, what? And he was already at that point, like, pretty out of it.
Yeah.
We just like slept in the hospital for 2 weeks straight. And that was just like, I can't even explain the grief. Like, my dad was everything to me. My parents were so happy. There were 5 of us. We were in our 20s. Like, I was about to get engaged. There was just, life was blossoming, you know, and I'm so lucky that I had 28 years with him. Yeah. But what really got me through was actually was group therapy. Yeah. I did this thing called Our House, where you go and you meet with other people who have lost a parent. They're the same age, pretty much around the same age as you, and they've all lost a parent. And I did it. It was like 7 other people. We did it once a week, sat around in a circle, and just like gave ourselves the time and space to talk about them, to share stories, to... It was just like the space where, like, you didn't want to burden anyone else with it. And so that, for that year afterwards, that's what really, I think, helped get me through. Because it's, you can't, there's not anybody that understands it, unfortunately, except for people that have gone through it. And you need to have that outlet. Like, you need to feel like people have felt the same feeling and are like still existing and getting through life.
Yeah. I feel like it's such a, like, a shocking thing, cause it's not building up for a long time. So I definitely can't imagine. And I feel like something like a group therapy does sound like probably the best way to be able to like have an experience with others who are like also struggling.
Start going through it. Yeah. That one-on-one therapy was hard for me at that time because I felt like I just couldn't get through anything without like crying, or it was just very hard for me. But the group therapy was really amazing, and the relationships that were made were like really powerful. And I think now, you know, I always say to people who are experiencing grief or dealing with it at the moment that the amount of grief that you have will lessen. It will hit you less throughout your lifetime, but when it hits you, it will still be as painful. You just won't think about it as much.
Yeah.
And there's also this great quote that's like, grief is just all the love that you have for the person, right, that has no place to go. It's someone else says it's something better, somewhere better. But, like, it's something that you learn to live with and that really, like, has just made me such, I feel like, a better person. Like, I am not taking as many things for granted. I'm so much more present in my life. I'm, like, trying to soak in moments, hold on to moments, like, really be, like, existing and living in my body because of that. And so, like, I don't wish that that happened, obviously, but I feel like I've had to grow from it because, like, there's the only other place to be is just, like, stagnant. And I see people existing like that with grief, and I don't want to be like that.
I guess when you said that quote, it's like, the more grief you have obviously means, like, the deeper you love that person. I had all these amazing times with them. So it makes sense. And I agree. Like, any hard time that I've been through personally, like, more down times or whatever, like, I do feel like that's made me more grateful on an everyday basis and just raise that bar a little bit. Because I think when we're young, like, it's hard to know, like, you know, how, like, short life could be or all these things. Like,
or all the things that are going to happen. Like, all the waves that are going to hit you. But I think that, that's what time gives you, obviously, is perspective. And so I just feel like now when I'm hit with stuff, like, I'm able to digest it more easily. I'm more calm when I'm facing it. And, like, I know it's not life or death, you know, luckily right now, knock on wood. And so I'm able to work through it.
And thank you for sharing that. And you talked about, you know, sort of coming out of that and then realizing that you didn't want to keep doing the apparel business. Like, what were you thinking was sort of next for you at that time? And then what did that morph into?
So I'm, like, in my middle childness, I'm very, I'm not, like, so goal-oriented where I have, like, a strategy and I'm making sure that I'm hitting all my benchmarks. And so, like, for me, I was always kind of just, like, throwing things at a wall and seeing what sticks, you know? And then I realized after a while that that was just, like, exhausting and I needed to have a plan. And so, like, for me, it's all been about building community. And that came from my YouTube series, which I started filming right around when I got pregnant, which was called I Love My Baby Butt, which is where I was basically just, like, complaining about being pregnant and, like, just talking about all the shit that no one really talks about when they're pregnant, but that everybody is thinking. And I built such a community on that YouTube series that I basically started to, like, build my career around building up that community of, like, new moms, trying to empower them with fashion and build up their confidence. And so, like, I have my podcast and then our YouTube where we do, like, reacting to our old Hills and City episodes, which was, like, a fun thing during COVID that we started because we didn't know what else to do with our time. And then, like, I have my other fashion collaborations as well. I have a clothing collaboration with Rent the Runway, and I'm able to be, like, creative through those.
And on the fashion side, you talked about the styling piece that you thought you'd be doing when you were younger. Is that sort of why you've tried to keep that as part of what you're doing now?
So I just really started doing that now. I'm basically making myself available to do virtual styling for anyone, whether they want me to, like, clean out their closet or build looks for them for events or just do shopping. Like, I really want to just, like, talk to people. I want to engage with people. I want to help them. And, like, I feel like there's not so much of that now with social media. Like, there's so much of this, you know, where I'm just, like, engaging with them, but it's not mutual. So it's I wanted to form relationships and, like, see if this would be something that actually I was good at. And I feel like, I don't know if I'm good at it yet, but I feel like I know that I'm loving it and that's enough for me to keep doing it. Like, it doesn't feel like work. So I'm like, yes, let's just keep doing it. So I basically, like, have open spots on my calendar and people are able to book me each week. And
that's sweet.
That's how it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. I feel like not everything needs to be perfectly, like, optimized at the beginning. It's just like, if you like doing it a lot and makes you feel good and others feel good, then, like, worth doing.
Yeah, that makes me feel good to hear that. Do you really believe that? Yeah, I do. I mean, things, I think, not having to be perfectly optimized.
I think, like, for me, like, even, you know, even within work, and of course it's like super hectic, and we work a lot, and it's very heavy. I think fortunately, like, you know, I don't have kids right now, so it's like I'm lucky because I do have more time.
And yeah,
I think I've always tried to like help others with like work related things or that sort of thing, whether my friends or just like random people. And like, obviously, like, I don't necessarily get anything from that money wise or monetarily, but it definitely does make me like feel good, and I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And also lets me do something that's not related to the work we're doing here.
Totally.
So like, you know, there's a lot of benefits it has for me, but that's not this like optimized thing, right? Or like, I don't have to like be doing, you know, X amount of them. Like, I just do them.
You just do it because it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And like, you get some, the thing that you're getting out of it is that you're being like of service, and like you have a purpose and you're sharing your purpose with people. And I 100%. Think that comes back to you in ways that you don't even always realize.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think, like keeping score, like, it has never been like my thing.
Same.
And just like, I've always tried to give a lot and then just know that like I'll receive whatever I want back over time, you know, like try to like be like, oh, I did this thing for you, or so can you do
waiting
this
in return. I know, I can't deal with friends like that. Those are the friends that you start to like weed out, you know, like the, who's supporting me at this, or did you show up at this, or did you tag me in this? It's like, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's tough, especially with like social media and all these things. And
yeah,
I'm sure even harder for you because you have a following and that sort of thing. So I think that's how I've thought about it. And I think it just helped me in this like kind of chaotic time that is like a startup that is like really hard to like balance it out. And
but within the company, whenever you do anything, are you making sure that it's all like as optimized as
it's
possible?
It's a good question. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of just like the way I naturally am does lean more to that side.
Yeah.
So I think I try to balance that out. It's a big kind of topic in therapy, which I would say is like kind
like
of
micromanaging.
Yeah, not necessarily. Like I like control a lot around how we work and why we do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that part of it, there's good aspects of that and it's helped us like get ahead. There's bad aspects of that I'm trying to like improve on.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my like personal time or like time to unwind, it's like making I have to like very specifically make sure I'm like not using my phone or doing XYZ things that I know aren't in my nature. So like usually like anytime I'd be driving, I'd be like listening to a podcast, right?
Yeah.
But like, do I need to listen to a podcast like every time I'm driving? Like probably not.
Right.
So like trying to like not do that and just like drive home like not listening to anything, which is like crazy for me.
I know,
you know?
That
so,
makes so much
so
sense.
So I just have this like funny balance, but I think it's been fun because I do like challenges. So like it's like a good way to like reframe and like make me try stuff that like I wouldn't normally do.
Yeah, especially like you turn it into like a game or a challenge for yourself.
It's just like fun.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I would say. I definitely lean a little bit more like type A, like XYZ, let's do all these things.
I like wish I was.
Yeah, I mean, there's like pros and cons of both sides, you know?
Yeah.
And I think like it's good to know that about yourself, like which way you lean.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you don't necessarily need to become so good at the other side, but just have people that complement those things well.
That's the thing, is that sometimes we just aren't that kind of person, and that's okay. And we just need to accept that. And then there's other people to fit those other roles.
Yeah. What was your thinking in like starting the podcast? Because I guess like that's very different than YouTube, at least like to me. Like,
yes. I mean, I didn't really love like being in front of a camera, and I felt like I wanted to connect with people. And at first, I launched in 2017, and podcasts like weren't as rampant as they are now. And I was doing like mostly interviews, like founders, experts, doctors, designers, like people that I really wanted to learn from. And because I think that was sort of like the trend at the time.
For sure.
And then I realized like this is not really like that much fun for me anymore. Like, I'm not a journalist. I'm like not Barbara Walters. I don't feel so comfortable interviewing people.
For sure.
Or like it gives me anxiety like leading up to doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm trying to do things that don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. Even though they're like successful, it's still
you want to
feel good while you're doing
and
it.
And
it could be even more successful. I felt like, I felt like there was just a bit of me personally that was missing. So we started doing this new format where now I'll do That we come out with a podcast every Tuesday. We do two date night episodes, which is essentially me and my husband sitting down and talking, just having a conversation about what we would talk about on a date night. And now it's a little formatted, so we have certain topics, like just something that's on our mind, something that's going on with our kid, like a pop culture palate cleanser, the best thing we ate, like random things. But so those are, that is just to give people, like, it's personal. People want that fun, yeah, easy listening. And I think that also people like the look into the relationship stuff. And yeah, we have like real That's conversations cool. and like work through stuff on there. And then the other two episodes a month are just our solo episodes. Sometimes they're I take you through like a day in my life. Sometimes it's taking you through the journey of like my collaboration with Rent the Runway, all different. But yeah, the podcast is just for me now, like a no pressure, easy way for me to just like talk about what's going on with yeah, me for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think yeah, what's cool and like underrated about podcasts is like even more than like YouTube or TV, it's like when you're in someone's like ears like directly, it does feel like they're building like a bigger connection.
It's science. It's yeah, actually a fact. We did like this pitch to Mattel last week to pitch them how brands can work with podcasts, like duh, but so you can take that out, yeah, but but they had a scientist there right before us, yeah, that was showing them this deck on how auditory listening, like how that specific mode of learning is like so much more ingrained in our brains than like visual or any of that stuff. For so sure, yeah, you're really, really engaging with them. And I don't mean I'm just like sitting there talking about me for yeah, 45 minutes, but like it's like I said, and I don't have to belabor it, just a way to connect and talk for about sure, yes, what is happening in my life, but how can we use that to empower like all of our yeah, lives?
Yeah, I think it's cool. And yeah, I think like the one person just talking, which is I think more generally new over the last few years, is like so interesting, because like the first time I listened to one, I was like, there's like, is this actually like, how could this be good? But then I was right, like super into it,
because some people are really, I mean, they're well spoken, yeah, they have a lot to say, and you have editors that are making it sound yeah, perfect.
And
you
I was
know?
Like damn, like I just listened to like 45 minutes straight, but like that was good. And I yeah, listened to another one, and so I think it's super interesting. I did just listen to your most recent Day in the Life. So
you did?
It was cool. Okay, and like good. I was just like, I always try to listen to stuff before we interview someone.
Yeah,
but
that's great. I'm happy that you did that.
Yeah, and I think it's like such a cool format, because like, you know, a million people could listen, or like 10 could listen, and like mm-hmm, I think there could be the same level of impact, and like the individual impact is so much higher, I think, when they're like listening to something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty dope.
Yeah, and it's evergreen too. And then I think that relationship that you're building, it bleeds into the other areas of your life
for
and
sure,
the projects that you're working on and whatnot. And not to like totally look at it as a business, yeah, but like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. And I think people feel just like a bigger connection with you, which yeah, is good in many different ways.
Of course.
And I think comes back to you in different ways.
Yeah.
For you, you know, I guess like, have there been specific topics that you feel like you've spoken about that maybe were harder for you at the beginning, but have like really, really resonated with like your audience? And
yeah, definitely the pregnancy stuff, and then a lot of the miscarriage stuff, because yeah, I unfortunately had 5 miscarriages after I had Sunny. And you're not there yet. You yeah, don't. It's crazy, though. Yeah. It's like you should be learning about this yeah, stuff, but you yeah, don't. And like your friends probably aren't. I mean, maybe they're starting to think about freezing their
I'm
eggs.
I'm learning a little. Learning
have
a
any
little,
of your female friends talked about freezing yeah, their yeah, eggs?
Some of them have already. And
yeah,
I did get engaged earlier this
oh
year.
Oh my God.
So,
yeah, amazing. So congrats.
It is a topic.
It is sure, a topic. Okay. Yeah. So like, yeah, the fertility stuff has been crazy, because yeah, it's not something that until you go through it that you feel like you have to know about it. Mm-hmm. But the crazy part is like when you're 30, if you know about it and you know how like how difficult it can be, you will get into the doctor yeah, and you will freeze your eggs, yeah, you know? Or like now that you guys are engaged, maybe make embryos, yeah, not to like
yeah, yeah,
put that on you.
No, for sure.
But I think that that is the thing that I just, you don't realize how many women have actually gone through those issues and don't speak about it. And that it's been such like a shameful thing or a personal thing. And then you even tell your friends. Like, I told my friend I miscarried, my best friend that I've known since I was in sixth grade. And she was like, I did too. And I never told anybody.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Like, what? You just sat at home and like cried by yourself? Yeah. Like, what? So I think that really, and if, cause I'm still going through it. Like we're still trying to have a second, like yeah. working through what that looks like. Is it IVF? Is it surrogacy? We're not sure. But I think continuing to have that conversation and be vulnerable while I'm still like not even knowing what's going on has been probably the hardest thing for me to talk about. Cause you just open yourself up to like, it's not even judgment, just like opinions of what you should do mm-hmm. and have you tried this and this and that. But I think that more than anything, like, the uniting is more important than any of the shit that you get from it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And of course, like, I'm assuming it's also like helped you go through it, not yes. just like others.
And me not yeah. feel so alone. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm guilty of those thoughts. Like, what did I do wrong? Was it something I ate? Should I not have done this? Like, just like so many, I spiral in my own head. And then for me to be able to put that out there and for even just like, you know, one other person to say me too is like, just feels so yeah. good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When you think about like the future for you and like what you hope to keep doing or like yeah. build on what you've already done, like, how do you think about that if you do? Because I know you're not planning.
I know. I'm like, right now I'm in a simplification phase.
Yeah.
Where because I'm kind of like so scatterbrained and try a million different things yeah. and like I feel like my everything that I do is just kind of half-assed. I'm just really trying to focus in on the few things that are making me happy
yeah.
and see where those can go. Like my podcast, my styling business. I am launching this little thing that's also just like fun and that I've been doing as a hobby. I've been curating like antique home goods and jewelry. And oh, so I'm sick. Doing some little pop, like a little launch on my...
Like just one of one stuff?
Yeah, or? Like yeah. one of one stuff, yeah. like 40 pieces at a time. And sick. I'll maybe do little launches. Like if people are interested in it, I'll see how often. But trying to... like get into the home space a little bit because we just renovated a house that we turned into our offices and nice. Like where we record out of and stuff. And then continuing my fashion collaborations. Like I'm talking to a company in Sweden that wants to like branch out into the US and maybe being like a creative director for them. But I don't know, like I always want to do a bunch of different things, but I don't exactly have like the end goal for myself,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No, I don't think it's bad. I think it's just as long as you feel good in on a daily basis on what you're working
do.
On, like, I think that's all that really counts. And
yeah.
people do all sorts of different kinds of things to like think about the future, but it's more just like if you like every day and what you're doing, then like
yeah.
the future will end up good.
I feel like I'm at a place now where I finally like what I'm yeah. doing every day. And so I think that it will organically just grow from there
for
because
sure.
I think what you love to do is what ends up being your most successful
yeah for
thing.
Sure you have to find yeah. like what you feel like is like your life's work
yeah
and I also think it's not necessarily like 10 different things and I think when you're younger you're
yes.
like oh I need to do all these things because like maybe one of them will be like really successful or something
yes.
but you realize that it's also impossible to give like your energy to like
to
that
all,
many things
right no it's so true it's so true
and when you think about like I guess as a mom how have you learned and grown from being a mom and how do you think about the future of that? Of course you're trying to have another child hopefully
yeah.
sometime soon, but
yeah, I mean I think like beyond the grief, I think what having a kid has done has also forced me to just like see how fast time moves, like how life goes by so fast because you are literally seeing it right in front of your
yeah.
eyes, like how much they're changing every day. And I didn't realize that until now. I'm like, oh my God. So now I'm focused so much on like time moving slowly and really being present and being in the moment
yeah.
and like not thinking too far ahead. And that goes into the fertility thing too. Like every time I get anxious about when is this going to happen or is it going to happen
yeah.
or like, and I start to plan it out, I'm like, wait, you have no control over
yeah.
this situation. Like you can put certain things in motion, but you have to kind of like just be in this
yeah.
moment right now. Do what you can in this moment to get to that place, but just really be in this moment.
Yeah.
And so that's how I'm trying to do the whole mothering thing. Yeah.
Just accepting whatever.
Radical acceptance of like, yeah. And I feel like I'm so lucky I even have one, you know, that if that's all it is, like, I'll be blessed as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so many people don't or can't.
Exactly.
Which is sad, of course.
Exactly.
So being grateful is always good.
It's the only alternative to,
Totally. Well, two final questions we ask everyone.
Yeah.
One is like, is there someone that's like been inspiring in your journey that you've learned a lot from, whether you know them or not, that you think would be good to share their story on the Mad Happy podcast?
Good question. I mean, there's so many people. Can I think about it for a second?
For sure. And the last question we ask is, what makes you mad happy?
What makes me mad happy? Honestly, like, dancing to loud music in my car by myself makes me mad happy.
I love that.
Okay, a person, an inspiring, like, ask the question again so I can
just
really,
like, you know, someone that's inspired you in some way in their journey, or how they talk about their journey, or sort of what they've been through that's helped you go through some part of your life in a better way.
Yeah. God, I don't know. There's so many people. I'm like trying to.
It's okay. You could just say that one.
Decide who it is. okay. So there's this someone named Valeria Lipovetsky, and I've met her once before. But she's like an immigrant to this country, and I honestly, like, she's just built such a brand and a business for herself based on, I think, like, such amazing principles.
Yeah.
And she's not afraid. She, like, doesn't take herself too seriously. And I don't know. She's just really inspirational, and she's confident, and she shows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And she had three kids, like, really, really young, and has just worked very hard to get where she's at today.
That's awesome.
And I think she's awesome and cool and inspiring.
Yeah, check her out. I haven't heard of her. So that was a good one.
Yeah, good.
Well, Whitney, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh,
really,
my gosh,
really
of
appreciate
course.
It. I know everyone's gonna love this episode.
I hope so.
Where should people find you? We'll link, of course, everything.
Yeah. So my podcast is With Wit. You can find that anywhere. My YouTube channel, Whitney Port, and then I have my website, WhitneyPort.com, and I'm Whitney Eve Port on Instagram.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.